Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you?
I am doing good. Welcome back from that amazing event. I just saw the pictures and it looks big and holy. Please tell us about it.
Whoever is not in the loop, but every year Chabad has their international conference, and so all the Chabad rabbis that are posted all over the world come together in New York, and we come together Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, and there's different workshops and different sessions and networking and, you know, meeting new people and ideas and old friends that you haven't seen in a while and sitting together and learning and eating and the chaims and dancing, and it's beautiful. So the end of the event is Sunday night, where we have the gala banquet. They have to find a massive place. They find in New Jersey, they take these massive warehouses and they transform them into absolutely beautiful halls. And there's about 4,700-4,800 Chabad rabbis worldwide.
Wow, that's a lot, huh?
Yeah, and at the gala banquet, there's I think just about under 6,000 people that are there. You know, supporters, lay leaders that come with them, and the energy in that room is beyond amazing. If you think about it, you have in that room every single corner of the world is represented in that room. And the U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, he was the guest speaker, and so on, different other speakers. And then at a period of time, which is the most exciting part personally for me, is at towards the end, after they do the roll call and they announce all the states and all the countries that have Chabad and so on and so forth, there's something called spontaneous dancing. Everyone gets up and we start to dance. So you can imagine, I don't know, you know, people probably have not had that before. You know, you go to a bar, you go to a dance, you know, you're 50, 60, 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, maybe.
But 6,000.
This is, you're talking about 6,000 people getting up at one time and dancing. You start, they call it the washing machine. You start in one place where your table is, and at the end of the night, whenever you're ready to go home and catch the bus, you're on the other side of the hall. Because you don't really just like get swept away. It's the energy is beyond. But that was last week, and you know, we come back invigorated, and you know, it's beautiful to spend time with my brother-in-laws, which all Chabad rabbis all over the world, and my brothers and friends. And so it was beautiful. It was very, very nice. So that was last week. There's a lot of things going on this coming month. With Hanukkah coming up, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But this week's Torah portion is Parshat Toldot, and where we learn that Isaac and Rebecca, Yitzchak and Rivka, endured 20 childless years until their prayers are answered and Rebecca conceives. Now she experienced a difficult pregnancy as the children are struggling within her, and as God tells her that there are going to be two nations, there are two nations in your womb, and the younger will prevail over the older. And we know, excuse me, that when Rivka would go by a house of idolatry and so on and so forth, Esav would be the one kicking, wanting to come out, and she would go by a place of tents of learning and so on and so forth. Jacob would want to go up, and everyone knows the whole story that Yitzchak wanted to give a blessing to his oldest son before he was dying, and Rebecca heard that and said, "Well, Jacob, you better go and get it." And she deceived.
Get the blessing.
The Yitzchak, and she dressed him up, you know, as though the food, the clothing of Esav, so that he should smell like him, so and so, because his father was blind, right? And so she was able to convince him that he should do that. So what do we see? We see that Jacob gets dressed in order to go and take the blessing from his father, under the guidance of his mother, prepares him the food, and so on and so forth. Jacob receives his father's blessing, and then obviously everyone knows Esav comes back and says, "Yeah, father, I prepared for you the whole meal that he wants." And the father said, "What? I already gave the blessing," and he's all upset, he's nagging, and wants to kill him and take them many, 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 many years till later on, where Esav is willing to sort of, quote unquote, forgive his brother. So, the question, obviously, many questions, but the question that's really asked is this a proper way for a woman to behave, to contrive a scheme to outsmart her husband's planning? Now, if Rebecca had a good reason as to why Esau was undeserving of his father's blessing, why couldn't she communicate that directly to Yitzhak? Husband and wife, talk about it. Why couldn't Rebecca follow the glorious tradition of the Jewish wives who commonly explain to their husbands how wrong they are? And indeed, Rebecca had a very good argument to tell, you know, that Jacob is a wholesome person, Esav is not, so on and so forth. So how come? Why did he not? Why did she not? And also we know that Jacob's descendants became the nation of Israel. So there was so much that Rebecca could give insight into her husband instead of manipulating the situation. So there's a lot that is talked about in this regard of this actual story throughout all the explanations of the different rabbis and so on and so forth. But there's one that I remember seeing, which is very, very interesting. Rebecca was suggesting, and she suggests, that Jacob's grandchildren may one day strip themselves of their grandfather's garments and don the clothes of Esau. And so the matriarch of Israel was aware that the day will come when the Jew might be compelled to replace Jacob's dress with Esau's. So inside, he will be Jewish, but on the outside, he will seek to appear like Esau. And Rebecca understood, and on a side note, as only a mother could understand, the confusion that might consume her descendants following thousands of years of tumultuous history. You know, Jews going through so many things, the Holocaust, Spanish Inquisition, the Romans, the Greeks, so on and so forth. And Rebecca appreciated the identity crisis of the Jew in the modern era, in our time, which was, you know, craving to integrate, sometimes even to assimilate among other nations and among other cultures. And Rebecca could have persuaded her husband to grant the blessing directly and straightforwardly to Jacob. But then these powerful spiritual energies would have been transmitted to the Jacob of old, the Jacob who, like Jacob from within and without, the wholesome Jacob. And Rebecca thought that Jacob will one day in history become entrenched in the embrace of secularism and want to appear like Esau. So she would have lost that blessing. And Rebecca knew the answer. And she knew that there is an essential part of the blessing and the covenant. Even the Jacob who looks just like Esau is an integral part of the covenant, because they are in the legacy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the moment Rebecca dressed her son Jacob in Esau's clothes to receive Isaac's blessing, she ensured the spark of Judaism, the essence of the Jewish soul, the main part of Jewish faith, would remain embedded in the heart of every single Jew forever, even the Jew that may sometimes others, you know, maybe just be dismissed as merely an Esav. So what are we seeing from this? We're seeing from this that the idea that no matter what, we still have in us Jacob. We may sometimes try to change. We may sometimes try to put on an Esav, a hairy, a worldly look in regards to doing something that may not be what God wants us to do. We put it on this facade, this outer appearance of trying to involve ourselves in the world. But no matter what, we have that blessing. Rebecca ensured it, that the Jacob is going to be inside of us all the time, no matter what we're going to do. Sometimes we have to uncover that godliness that is covered by the Esav, covered by our artificial, by the outer appearance. And therefore, you find, and I see this all the time, you find many people that on the outside, they look like, you know, the Esav, they try to act like the Esav, the animal hunters, worldly pleasures, no godliness, but deep down, inside of them, they're godly. So when Rebecca donned the clothes of Esav on her from Jacob, she ensured this truth for all of eternity. Even if you encounter an Esav-like Jew, we have to remember that he or she is really a Jacob. They are only now dressed like Esav. I think that's such an important lesson that we as Jews can have to learn and look and say, you know what? Someone may not look like us. Someone may be acting in a different way. Whatever it may be. But we have that obligation to bring out that Jacob which is in that person. The Jacob which is in him. Bring him out to do what? To bring him, to reveal that godliness. And I think that is something that is so important that sometimes we make the mistake. We write someone off. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. God forbid. But that's not what Rebecca had in mind. And that's definitely not what God has in mind. And I think that's a very important lesson we have to make sure to ensure.
It is. Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
So we have services Friday night is 5 o'clock, Shabbat morning, 9:30. Sunday morning, followed by breakfast is at 8:30. And Monday and Thursday is at 7:15. So it's a great way to start the year. And in less than a month, I'm sorry, great way to start the week. In less than a month is Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is coming.
And so we'll just give everyone the heads up. Chabad of Windsor, and this year, excuse me, the Windsor Jewish Community Center are pairing up. We're going to be doing a joint menorah lighting. It's the 10th annual menorah lighting at the Devonshire Mall. And this year is going to be the menorah of a decade. What we're going to do is, the menorah is going to be made of all the items we made the menorah from the last 9 years. And we're asking everyone to please drop off. You can drop off at the Jewish Community Center. You can drop off at the Shara Shemai. Any of the following items. Lego, coins, toys, mittens, a scarf, food cans, pasta, or anything. And it's going to be donated to a charity. It's going to be Sunday, December 22nd, the first night of Hanukkah at the Devonshire Mall near the Old Sears. There's going to be dreidels, donuts, latkes, crafts for the kids. The mayor's going to be there. Other city officials will be there. That's going to be an amazing event. And actually, this year, for the first time, Windsor Bright Lights, that is going to be starting December 6th at Jackson Park, will have, for the first time in history, a 10-foot menorah will be there, lit up throughout the whole month, and especially on Hanukkah.
Wow, that's great.
So the city finally gave us permission after a lot of negotiation, but it's very excited. Very excited. that's going to be, we're going to be bringing light to the world. That's a beautiful thing.
Very good. So we're going to have a lighted December coming.
Absolutely.
Very good. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and
you too.
Great weekend.
You too, and I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
All right. Be well.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.